with political and trade unions and other links, you can make the issue of equal rights and non-discrimination go through and people recognize the value of persons.
When a woman loves a woman,
trash girl from the wrong side of town.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Gay rights are recognized in a Russian courtroom first, advancing queer rights in union with organized labor, and progressive politics, energetic folk pop, and trashy bi blues mix it up in the audio file. All that and more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watt.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending September 24th, 2005. History was made in a St. Petersburg court this week with Russia's first ruling in favor of a gay person on a gay rights issue. The litigant, identified as Mr. VP, sued the Russian state railways after being denied a job because of his sexual orientation. In 1992, Mr. VP was excluded from military service on the grounds that his homosexuality constituted a perverse psychopathy under the old Soviet classification of mental disorders. A notation to that effect remained in his government records, even though homosexuality is no longer considered a disease in Russia. The Budapest-based Mental Disability Advocacy Center, an international non-governmental organization, represented Mr. VP, arguing that his constitutional rights to education and employment had been violated and that his homosexuality should never have been considered a disorder in the first place. The court declared the use of military information to restrict human rights unlawful and reaffirmed that homosexuality is not a mental disorder. Nikolai Alexeyev, head of the organization GayRussia.ru, who is himself involved in an illegal dismissal suit against Lomonosov Moscow State University, called the ruling a huge breakthrough in Russia for LGBT rights. However, it remains to be seen how far the landmark ruling will carry, since precedent is not recognized in the Russian legal system. Still, activists like Alexeyev see this as the start of a new era. As he put it, the ball has started to roll, and the court system is no longer immune to gay emancipation.
Just a month after the execution of two gay teens caused an international outcry, persecution in Iran appears to be intensifying. According to the Persian Gays and Lesbians Organization, a massive internet entrapment campaign conducted by the Morality Police, Fundamentalist Militia, and the Revolutionary Guard has led to the arrest and torture of many gay men. One such victim, Amir, received 100 lashes before managing to escape to Turkey, where he hopes to be granted asylum by a gay-friendly country. The International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, or IGLHRC, expressed dismay that Iran's violations of international human rights agreements were not questioned at last week's gathering of world leaders at the United Nations. IGLHRC has issued an urgent recommendation for Iran to be called to account for its actions against gays and lesbians at the newly formed UN Human Rights Council.
If Amir the Iranian is looking for asylum in a gay-friendly country, Turkey is not the place for him. Chaos GL, the Gay and Lesbian Culture Research and Solidarity Organization, is being threatened with closure by the deputy governor of Ankara. After being in existence for nearly a decade, the leading Turkish LGBT group was approved for status as a non-governmental organization by the Ministry of the Interior, which passed the application on to its local Ankara branch. However, Deputy Governor Selahattin Ekremoglu cited two articles of the Turkish Civil Code which prohibit the establishment of any organization that is against the laws and morality rules. He initiated a court procedure to close down Chaos GL altogether. Homosexuality is not illegal in Turkey, and the Constitution provides for freedom of assembly. Activists are warning the government that the move could also jeopardize Turkey's accession negotiation with the European Union, which also specifies freedom of association in its Charter of Fundamental Rights.
The issue of same-gender marriage may be causing a breakup in Spain's main conservative opposition party. Popular Party Deputy Leader Ángel Acebes is spearheading the effort to draft a motion to have the 3-month-old marriage equality law struck down in constitutional court. Other party power brokers are not on board with the plan, however, fearing the appearance of homophobia will hurt them come election time. Socialist Party leaders are seizing on the public split, pointing out that the Popular Party has opposed every attempt to advance the rights of lesbians and gays. Recent polls indicate that over half of the population supports same-gender marriage. 27 gay and lesbian couples have married in Spain since the law took effect on July 3rd.
In the U.S., the loudest marriage equality noise is coming out of California, where queer advocates have used petitions, email, phone calls, and letters to lobby Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to sign the first bill legalizing same-gender marriage to come directly out of a state legislature. Schwarzenegger has vowed to veto the bill, but as of September 23rd, the day the bill officially reached his desk, there's been no word of any action by the governor. Meanwhile, the state attorney general's office is moving ahead with its appeal of a recent court ruling that declared laws preventing same-gender marriage unconstitutional.
Schwarzenegger says he's standing by a ballot measure against same-gender marriage passed by California voters 5 years ago, but activists in Oregon are suing their state to have a similar initiative ruled unconstitutional. About 3,000 lesbian and gay couples received marriage licenses last year in Multnomah County, but they were nullified when the constitutional amendment was passed. Some of those couples are involved in the current suit, which argues that the measure was an improper and invalid exercise of the initiative power.
And finally, while others in the queer world are racing to the altar, one famous gay couple has called it quits. They've been an item for 6 years, raised and adopted a child after desperately trying to conceive one on their own, and became role models of fidelity for their New York City community, until a home-wrecking female from San Diego came along. Silo and Roy, two male chinstrap penguins, have been among the stars at the Central Park Zoo since their relationship became public. But now Silo has moved in with Scrappy, and poor Roy reportedly sits alone staring at the wall, apparently trying to avoid watching his former love making penguins with a new, younger mate. Perhaps a personal ad would help, like, BMW divorced male seeks monogamous bird. Destination, Canada?
That's News Wrap for the week ending September 24th, 2005. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written this week by Lucia Chappell and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
The earth will turn over on a white trash girl in the waiting room when we open this month's audio file, that is, later in the program. There's more to the relationship between the queer movement and organized labor than winning equal rights in the workplace. International trade union activists were among the contingent that joined with GLBT organizations to bring the issues of sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression to the United Nations Commission on Human Rights meeting earlier this year in Geneva. Anna Biondi of the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, or ICFTU, participated in a panel discussion entitled, In Union, How Can Workers' Rights and the Struggle for Equality for Sexual Minorities Advance Together? Biondi says the work of the ICFTU, along with others like the ILO, the International Labor Organization, and PSI, Public Services International, can coordinate effectively with the efforts of lesbo-gay groups, if only both sides stop to recognize their common goals.
For those of you who do not know the ICFTU, it's the largest, indeed, the trade union body, bringing together the national centers. It is more difficult, indeed, to work on these issues with the general national centers than with some specific global union federation that, indeed, have started in such a good work like Education International and PSI. I think that if we play well with political and trade unions and other links, you know, you can make the issue of equal rights and non-discrimination, you know, I think that these issues can go through and people recognize the value of persons, and we are all different and we just all ask to be respected for what we are and to be included for what we are. Without saying that it's an easy way, but I certainly think that it's about time, and I think the role of the ICFTU, if you want, being an international confederation, what is our role? Certainly to follow the policy that comes out of our affiliates. You know, it doesn't mention that we have to create our own policy that doesn't reflect. But on the other end, through a discussion, also to push our affiliates in going along with what we see as the vision. And indeed, the ICFTU Congress, which took place just last December, among the visions that were in the different resolution was this strong resolution on fighting discrimination and achieving equality. I suggest that you would go through the ICFTU website and you will see the different resolutions. And the resolution is quite open and it starts immediately from the beginning about talking about discrimination based on sexual orientation. It pushes unions to work. And I think that this is a good platform for saying now it's about time also to act about, to do a checklist of what unions are doing. And indeed what the national unions are not doing enough and not recognizing this as a problem. But I want to launch the ball back also to the movement, to the gay and lesbian movement. And just because I was talking before coming here to a brother that was coming from San Francisco, and he was telling me, look, in San Francisco, it's very natural to have links with the gay and lesbian community on several issues. You know, it's normal. But he was saying, sometime I found the movement to be quite elitist. They are not very much interested in working on blue collars issues, you know. So I think that as much as I'm ready to do my checklist of what the unions are not doing enough, I also want everybody to do the checklist and seeing, are you sure that you are also engaging enough with, you know, unions that are not you know, white collars union, you know, let's try to work together. Are you sure that also you are engaging with certainly the double burden that would be for homosexual or gay and lesbian or transgender workers in a blue collar situation? You know, certainly I don't want to, you know, just to say like I don't want to take the responsibilities for labor movement, but I think that it's it has to be an open discussion about what we can do better together. I hope that also EI and PSI themselves will push the other global unions federation into coming into this debate, and we can do things together. We are working together. We will think about how to move to more action, because this is exactly what is coming out of our resolutions, where we say unions worldwide have to engage in activities and campaigns against discrimination. So, you know, it's like, let's build together the successful campaign. Let's write together which are, you know, the best practices that we know. I certainly believe that the equal partnership rights should be one of the major issues around which, you know, I would imagine that we could come together. But this is something that we can do. I was, you know, elected secretary of the workers' group in the ILO. You know that the International Labour Organization is a tripartite body where you do have governments, but it's the only UN systems body where you have also workers and employers representative, and where we adopt labor standards, and certainly the reference to the Convention 111, that unfortunately sexual orientation is not listed among the reasoning for non-discrimination. And we have started this debate about also an update of Convention 111. The very difficult debate. I don't deny that, you know, we are moving. We are moving. I think that together with the ILO, we have certain activities now that we want also to push into the ILO on non-discrimination, on sexual orientation. We just adopted in February 2005. And I think it's the first time that the ILO has adopted a text on non-discrimination, sexual orientation. And it was the conclusions of the 7th European Regional Meeting in Budapest. We adopted for the first time a conclusion that had also a paragraph 29 on equality and rights at works, And it was adopted on a tripartite basis that discrimination in access to employment and in occupation, whether based on gender, ethnic origin, political or religious belief, or other form of discrimination, including age, disability, and sexual orientations, remains a problem in the region. These are probably for you very, you know, watered down words. We were able to win this. And this is now an official ILO document. I please beg you to use it. You know, it's like, please go back and say that this has been adopted. Ask your own governments also to make sure that this is recognized. And I tell you, I want to use this in other regional meetings. It would be much more difficult. You know, it's like the next one is in Asia, and I'm not sure that they will go through. But, you know, it's a step. It's a small step. But as for any other instruments in the ILO or any other things, unless we use them, they remain words on paper. In the ILO, we do a lot of work around the core labor standards. The fight for freedom of association means also the fights for gay and lesbian workers to get together, to discuss their problems, and to use also the collective bargaining in order to make sure that these rights are recognized at the workplace. I think that this is a common goal. I think that we have a lot of work to do together, and I'm very pleased that the ICFTU is part of this discussion.
Anna Biondi of the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions spoke at a panel during a meeting of the United Nations Commission on Human Rights earlier this year entitled In Union, How Can Workers' Rights and the Struggle for Equality for Sexual Minorities Advance Together? Her comments were recorded and edited by This Way Out correspondent Uma Kali Shakti, who also attended the meeting as the Pacific Regional Representative of the International Lesbian and Gay Association.
Hi, I'm B.D. Wong. I'm the actor from Law & Order Special Victims Unit and Oz, and the author of Following Fu, The Electronic Adventures of the Chestnut Man, and you're listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. Oh yeah, I'm a gay guy.
Politically progressive harmonies, energetic folk pop with a subtle sing-along, and provocative blues about everything from poverty to prostitution. That's the eclectic musical menu served up in this month's audiophile.
Faith believes in a closet. It's quiet, safe, and dry. It's hard to meet a lover there. She doesn't often try. The keeping of her secret steals the courage from her heart. Sure, Faith could move a mountain, but she's far too tired to start. Sure, Faith could move a mountain, but she's far too tired to start.
She Who is a women's vocal group based in Philadelphia, and their first recording is called The Earth Will Turn Over. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. The group's founder, Karen Eskovitz, says that the album's focus comes from a decidedly progressive point of view.
It really places women at the center. Many of the pieces are political. It's very rare to find an album these days with explicitly pro-choice material on it. And then we have a number of songs that are kind of more peace-oriented. But I'd say that those are the characteristic themes of the album.
When a woman loves a woman, when a woman loves a woman,
find out more about the group She Who and their album The Earth Will Turn Over at www.shewho.org. That's www.shewho.org.
The third album by Julie Lloyd is called The Waiting Room, and in it she continues her blend of folk and energetic pop.
Tasted someone else's smile.
We got Julie to pick the most lyrically out song on the album.
I feel like the song on the album that's the most out is probably The Waiting Room, although I don't know if people would know it by listening to it. I like to think of it as sort of my lesbian anthem song. I don't know, it's kind of fun to play it in sort of totally straight audiences in like Nashville, Tennessee or whatever, and have them singing along to it because it's a very like We Are thing and they're all just singing along as if they know exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't think they know at all what I'm talking about, actually.
You can learn more about the album The Waiting Room by Julie Lloyd at www.julieloyd.com. That's www.julieloyd.com.
The seventh album by Candy Kane is called White Trash Girl. And once again, she proves her talent is as big as her voice.
She had the cutest Mona Lisa smile. I thought I had the time to try and make her mine. Something about her I just can't explain. Like a faded dream, don't even know her name.
And like her previous releases, the album has a variety of styles, including boogie, gospel, jump swing, ballads, and of course, the blues.
For me, the blues is a really comfortable place to be because I can be a large-sized woman, I can be sexually provocative, I can sing songs about poverty and about prostitution and about my life, even my bisexuality, and it all works and comes together in the blues.
I'm a white trash girl from the wrong side of town. I live alone.
Find out more about the album White Trash Girl by Candy Kane at www.candykane.com. That's www.candykane.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trenton. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
And finally this week, a few classic minutes from the This Way Out archives. October 1979, when black lesbian feminist poet Pat Parker asked,
"Where will you be when they come? They will not come a mob rolling through the streets, but quickly and quietly move into our homes to remove the evil, the queerness, the faggotry from their midst. They will not come clothed in brown and swastikas or bearing chests heavy with gleaming crosses. The time and need for such ruses are over. They will come in business suits to buy your homes and bring bodies to fill your jobs. They will come in robes to rehabilitate and white coats to subjugate. And where will you be when they come? Where will we all be when they come? And they will come. They will come because we are defined as opposite, perverse, and we are perverse. Every time we watched a queer hassled in the streets and said nothing, it was an act of perversion. Every time we lied about the boyfriend or girlfriend at coffee break, it was an act of perversion. Every time we heard, I don't mind gays, but why must they be blatant, and said nothing, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let a lesbian mother lose her child and did not fill the courtrooms, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let straights make out in our bars while we couldn't touch because of the laws, it was an act of perversion. Every time we put on the proper clothes to go to a family wedding and left our lovers at home, it was an act of perversion. Every time we heard, who I go to bed with is my personal choice, it's personal, not political, and said nothing, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let straight relatives bury our dead and push our lovers away, it was an act of perversion. And they will come for the perverts. And it won't matter if you're homosexual, not a faggot, lesbian, not a dyke, gay, not queer. It won't matter if you own your own business, have a good job, or an SSI. It won't matter if you're Black, Chicano, Native American, Asian, or white. It won't matter if you're from New York or Los Angeles, Galveston, or Sioux Falls. It won't matter if you're butch or femme, not into roles, monogamous, non-monogamous. It won't matter if you're Catholic, Baptist, atheist, Jewish, or MCC. They will come. They will come to the cities and to the land, to your front rooms and in your closets. They will come for the perverts. And where will you be when they come?
That was the late, great Black lesbian feminist poet Pat Parker during the Third World-sponsored kickoff rally at the first-ever National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights, October 14, 1979. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Christopher Gall, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, Cindy Friedman, Uma Kali Shakti, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Thanks also to John Frame. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Don't forget, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. For a few more days, your help to keep this program on the air will mean twice as much to us. So please log on to thiswayout.org for all the details. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KAOS Olympia, Washington, Radio Veronica, West Point, Pennsylvania, CJLY, Nelson, British Columbia, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.